Hello and welcome to Science Tech Africa on Channel Africa, the African perspective, and broadcasting from Johannesburg in South Africa. You can find us in Southern Africa, DSTV, Audio Bouquet, Channel 802, and stream us live on www.channelafrica.co.za. And you drop us messages on WhatsApp on +27 76 300 3327. On the show, we talk about science and technology stories in relation to Africa. We talk about what's happening in the world of social media and mobile technology in relation to Africa. My name is Nombuyise Lotengo, and you are tuned in to Science Tech Africa on Channel Africa, the African perspective. Welcome to the show. In today's program, we are looking at the importance of construction companies to embrace digitalization. The second story, we look at CyberCare, a service that helps tackle growing concerns over cybersecurity attacks. And we also look at how 5G networks can help to unlock significant growth opportunities across the continent. And lastly, we take a look at what role is technology playing in healthcare sector and how important is this considering where we are currently with COVID-19. For more on this, stay tuned to Channel Africa, the African perspective. Please like our Facebook page, Channel Africa, and do follow us on Twitter at @ScienceTech_1 and engage with us and comment on the program. Today, we look at RIBCCS business that specializes in software solutions for the construction and engineering industries, developed by contractors for contractors. That's been their mission for over 35 years now, and they have built an international reputation for excellence. Previously known as Construction Computer Software, the company has now taken a new identity under the nickname of RIBCCS. This is after the company's partnership and 100% acquisition by software multinational RIB Software SE, an innovator in the building and construction industry. To hear more on the story, our producer Paseka Makafola spoke to Andrew Scudder, Chief Executive Officer of RIBCCS.
Andrew, just share with the listeners, why is it so important for construction companies to embrace digitalization now?
So the industry faces several key challenges. The first is lag in productivity growth. Over the last 20 years or so, productivity growth has grown by about 1% in the construction industry versus about 2.8% in other economies. And so we're lagging in terms of productivity, and that means we're not getting the best bang for our buck through the construction industry. The second challenge that the industry faces is that it's a highly risky industry where you take on a lot of risk as a contractor, but you're getting very low margins. And we're getting margins which is really low relative to the risk that we get. The other thing that the industry needs to change for is because our clients see a low level of customer satisfaction in the construction industry, because as you may know, there's a lot of overruns in terms of time and in terms of budget. So this is really frustrating to clients who want to get their projects up and running as quickly as possible. And the fourth reason we believe the industry needs to embrace digitization is that it's one of the least digitized industries in the world. In fact, it's the second least digitized industry after hunting and agriculture. There's a lot of scope to adopt digital technologies in industry to make it a more efficient, more productive industry.
Andrew, just say with the listeners, measures that can be taken to ensure its future growth in the construction software industry.
So our industry is, the construction software industry is very much dependent on the growth of the construction industry itself. And so fortunately, the outlook for the construction industry across Africa actually looks quite promising into the future, because we've got growing urbanization, growing economies, and a net shortage of buildings and infrastructure to meet this growth, which means there's going to be great opportunities for the industry to grow and meet that need. And so we as a software vendor support this growth in the construction industry by providing solutions to the industry to make it a more efficient, productive, sustainable industry, which means that we can build more with our limited resources we have in our economies.
Andrew, do you believe that one day computer software will replace brick and mortar completely?
I don't believe that'll be the case, because we believe that the future is a coming together of the virtual and the physical. And we call this a digital twin, where essentially it means having a digital representation of a building. And we call this BIM, or Building Information Modeling. And this starts off with a 3D model of a building, which shows you the design of the building, all the elements in a building. And then we can add various information to this digital model. For example, we can add the cost of the building, the schedule, i.e. how long it's going to take to build, sustainability measures, for example, how much carbon is embodied in the building. And then we can also bring operational information into the model, i.e. the efficiency of an air conditioning system, who the supplier was, what are the maintenance records, etc. So through each of these processes, we're able to build a digital model of a building, and we can use that information during the design, the build, and the operation phase of a project. So no, we don't see the digital replacing brick and mortar. Rather, we see digital and physical coming together.
Andrew, just to wrap up the interview, what are the key questions a business should ask themselves when considering construction software?
So the starting point for any organization embarking on buying the digital tools, be that software for digital transformation, is to ask where are they today and where do they want to go to into the future? What are their current pain points and how do they want to address those over time? When they know that, they can invite in software vendors who will provide great information on the features and functions and benefits that they have. And during that process, we think there are five key questions that companies should be asking of their vendors. The first they should be asking, do they have a credible history and reputation? You know, you're entering into a long-term relationship with a vendor, and so it's really important that you got an organization that's got a good stature, sizable business, good balance sheet, so you can partner them over time. The second question they should be asking is, what technologies are underpinning the software? Is the software vendor using the most advanced technology, for example, Microsoft operating systems, SQL databases, and modern languages to write their software? Because that means that the software is future-proofed for the future, and you can rely on the software being around for many years to come. The third thing the vendor should be answering to is, what support do they offer the client? And by this we mean support in terms of online support of the software, training, that kind of thing, so that it's really important that they can get the full value out of their software. And then, of course, to get to the important questions around how much does it cost? And the cost typically involves the upfront software cost, annual support and maintenance fees, the hardware costs, hosting costs, all that kind of thing. It's really important that they get a full picture of the cost, because it comes to the last question then. So what is the return on investment that we get out of our software? And this is where the company needs to assess the benefits that they're going to get, to justify the cost that they're going to get. And so they need to understand, you know, is this going to grow our revenue? Is it going to have an operational efficiency benefit to us? Or is it going to help us meet certain legislative requirements or sustainability requirements? And then once balancing those with the cost, one can come up with a good business case as to why to invest in the software. So those are the five key questions we would expect our clients to ask of us.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Paseko. It's great chatting to you again. All the very best.
That was Andrew Scudder, Chief Executive Officer of RIBCCS, sharing with the listener about the importance of construction companies to embrace digitalization.
This is LiveWell, where we take a closer look at how to achieve healthy, holistic African living. Join me, Palesa Tau, on this journey as we discuss various illnesses and diseases, find new ways to keep ourselves fit, as well as hear some inspirational health stories from around the continent. All this on LiveWell, Mondays 10 a.m. CAT, right here on Channel Africa, giving you the African perspective.
If you just tuned in, you are listening to Science Tech Africa on Channel Africa, The African Perspective, broadcasting from Johannesburg in South Africa. Stream us live on www.channelafrica.co.za. And don't forget, you can also find us on Southern Africa DSTV, Audio Bouquet Channel 802. Like our page on Facebook, Channel Africa, and do follow us on Twitter at @ScienceTech_1 and drop us a message on WhatsApp on +27 76 300 3327. My name is Nombui Selo Tango. CyberCare team surveyed business groups representing approximately 10,000 companies in South Africa. Cybercrime research understanding the impact on small and medium-sized businesses showed there is an awareness of the problem, with many of the businesses surveyed acknowledging they had suffered some form of attack in the last past 12 months. Yet very few of them had actual safeguards in place to prevent sophisticated attacks. And even fewer knew who to call or what to do in the event of a cyber incident happening. But to share more on cyber care services that was launched recently in South Africa to help tackle growing concerns over cybersecurity attacks on small, medium enterprises, Channel Africa's Paseka Makafula spoke to Neil Hare-Brown, Chief Executive Officer of Storm Guidance.
Neil, recently you just launched in South Africa CyberCare in order to help tackle growing concerns over cybersecurity attacks. Can you share with the listeners what exactly is CyberCare?
So if you can imagine a roadside assistance type service, so, you know, if something goes wrong with your car, you break down on the side of the road, you can call a number. If you're a member of a roadside assistance service, you can call that number and someone will come out to assist you. They might be able to fix your car on the side of the road, or they might tow you to the nearest garage. And so this is the cyber equivalent of that roadside assistance service. So we provide a hotline number for CyberCare. If you're a CyberCare subscriber, you can use that hotline, call in, give your special unique ID, and then we will then jump into action and assist you in both investigating and responding to the incident that you are suffering. So it could be something like a ransomware attack, or it could be a business email compromise type attack, or any type of cyber incident. And we've got the expertise to get your business back to running as usual.
Can you please take us through, you know, some of the challenges for global and South African law enforcement in terms of the prosecution of cyber crime?
Okay, so the South African Police Service is no different essentially to many law enforcement organizations around the world. And that is that the SATs are, if you like, have to quite understandably obey the law and work under the South African law. And just like any other country in the world, South Africa has laws which are specific to its own people. And so essentially to bring criminals to justice, you know, those criminals generally have to be in the country. There is a potential for arresting people who are hurting South African citizens outside of South Africa, but generally the law is really sort of very jurisdictionally bound, and that's the same with any country in the world, more or less. The problem with cybercrime is that it's an international crime, and so most of the time the criminals are outside of South Africa. They are in countries which we don't have agreements with for extradition. Even if we did, it would cost a huge amount of South African taxpayers' money to go and find those criminals and bring them to justice. And they know that. And so for them, it's a very low risk. And when I say risk, I mean low risk in terms of getting caught for what you're doing, for the crimes that you're committing. It's a very low risk occupation. And so that's one of the main reasons why cybercrime is growing so much. South African Police Service, as I said, they are just as challenged as any other, and perhaps even more so from the point of view that it's very, very hard for them to bring those criminals to justice. I'll give you an idea from UK figures, because UK is very similarly challenged. Last year, there were over 13,000 prosecutions for burglary in the UK, 13,300 prosecutions, and there were less than 100 prosecutions. In fact, there were less than 60 prosecutions in the whole year for cybercrime. So it gives you an idea about just how hard it is, even though the law enforcement teams in SAPS are fighting valiantly and doing everything they possibly can, they are very, very restricted because of the way that global law works.
So how important it is for users to have a thorough understanding of the terms and conditions of the apps that they download and using on their devices?
Well, that's a great question. That's a very tough question. A lot of the terms and conditions and the agreements are very wordy. They're very hard for even lawyers to understand, I think, let alone the general public. And so, if you like, finding the needles in those terms and conditions which relate to security and privacy are also quite hard for us to do. The other thing is that we want to use these applications. We want to move on and use them to enhance our lives and for either if we're using them for business to help our business or if we're using them personally to enrich our lives. So we don't really have the time or the energy to really go and find out what these terms and conditions are, and therefore we rely on the suppliers, the providers of those services, to be ethical, to comply with South African law, to deliver their services to us in an ethical and legal way.
Not so long ago, you had a virtual event regarding cybercrime, and obviously you featured law enforcement cyber. So just to wrap up the interview, you've looked at the factors influencing global crime. Can you just wrap up the interview and let us know what can one do in terms of this?
Well, in conclusion, I would say that for South African businesses of all sizes, but specifically where cybercare is aimed is at what the smaller types of business. We have other services for the medium or larger business. And so for them to just give a little bit of thought to the devastating effect that a cyber incident would have on their business. In many cases, cybercrime is taking many companies, especially small ones, right to the edge of destruction. So just to give a little bit of thought to that and to think, if they do have an incident, who are they going to call? Who is going to assist them? And really what you want to have is something like cybercare, where we are very experienced in dealing with these incidents, and we can bring that expertise to help your business to investigate and recover from a devastating cyber incident.
Lastly, Neil, if one wants to get hold of you, where should they go in terms of your website, socials?
Our website, cyber.care. Also, our other business website, our main storm guidance website, www.stormguidance.com.
Neil, thank you very much for your time, and hoping to talk to you again in the near future.
Thank you very much. Great to speak to you.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Neil Hebrown, Chief Executive Officer of Storm Guidance. The Radio
station you can't live without. This is your radio.
It is a tough clash between Africa 11 and World 11. Africa has the possession. Bafana Bafana. Great pass to the Mambas of Mars. Then to the Crocodiles. Black Stars in the middle of the park. Plays it to the right flank. Let's see if Harambe Stars can play across. Beautiful pass to Chipolo Polo. Africa wins a free kick in a superb scoring position. Super Eagles, Warriors of Zim, Uganda Cranes standing together. Red Devils of Egypt in the mix. He takes a shot. 1-0. Africa is leading.
This is Africa at Play with Sport from an African perspective, live every Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Central African Time on DSTV Audio Bouquet, Channel 802, or stream live on channelafrica.co.za. Africa at Play.
You are listening to Science Tech Africa on Channel Africa, the African perspective. Broadcasting from Johannesburg in South Africa. Stream us live on www.channelafrica.co.za. And don't forget that you can also find us in Southern Africa, DSTV Audio Bouquet, Channel 802. Like our page on Facebook, Channel Africa, and do follow us on Twitter at @ScienceTech_1. And do comment on the show. Telecoms regulator and network operators in Africa should see the disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic as a catalyst to speed up the rollout of 5G networks and services to in turn support the continent's transition towards a digital economy. This will help to unlock significant growth opportunities across the continent. That's according to Remy Osman, Director of Corporate Sales and Marketing, MediaTek Middle East and Africa. Producer of the show, Paseka Makafula, spoke to him earlier and he explains why 5G network services are key not only in providing faster and lower latency connectivity to smartphones and PC users, but also in enabling the next generation of digital platforms and services, including Internet of Things and virtual augmented reality and advanced robotics.
Rami, can you share with the listener what should telecoms regulators and network operators in Africa to speed up the rollout of the 5G and services?
That's the biggest question, of course. Unfortunate event, but may be bringing fortunate mid-term and long-term impact on the continent. When I do my regular reporting, I compare Africa to other regions. 5G, we are expected in 2025 to have 3% install base. So only 3% of the people with mobile phone devices in Africa will be running 5G. However, globally, it could be as high as 65%. We're already shipping 40% globally of the mobile phones on 5G, while Africa is only some like commercial hope in South Africa with the operators and the new spectrum, emergency spectrum from ICASA. And a few tests here and there, like Kenya, Uganda, etc. That's not enough. But it could be expensive. It could be technically challenging. Every country and every operator seeks their interest. And I assume they know their interest. Now that changed. We cannot accept those timelines, and we cannot accept those penetration roadmaps.
So, Rami, how can 5G improve the lives of Africans?
We are still lacking data. We are still lacking coverage, in the continent. So let's talk about a few of those challenges. You need to grant higher number of African population access to the internet, because that will definitely change their lives and impact the GDP per capita, let alone survivability in pandemic times. So 5G, as I told you, that it's the fifth generation, right? Fifth generation. Before that, we had LTE, which was called the fourth generation and still called the fourth generation. Before that, we had WCDMA, which was called third generation. And before that, we had
GSM, second generation. And the second generation was the first truly cellular mobile network solution. 2G is still very popular in Africa, powering a lot of people's mobile phones, what we call feature phones. Those feature phones are usually limiting to the potential of the person. Because if you want to know about a certain pesticide or about a certain, you want to watch a YouTube video to help you as an African person build a house, everything is on YouTube now. You cannot, because you're just using your 2G mobile phone to make a phone call. Okay, we upgrade you to 3G. And later on, normal evolution, which was actually they called it LTE, long-term evolution. So the evolution of 3G was 4G, faster speed. 5G is beyond. 5G is more than evolution. This is true. Because what it brings on 3G and 4G is not only speed. One of the most important things that brings is capacity. Capacity means how many people or how many terminals you can cover from the cellular tower.
Please share with the listeners how 5G networks can help to unlock significant growth opportunities across the continent.
So your network operators will be able to cover more people with the same operational cost. More people with the same operational cost, meaning they can be more generous in their data caps. Plus, 5G allows you to use wider spectrum. You may know what spectrum means, and you're monitoring, you know, how many megahertz, 5 megahertz, 10 megahertz, 20 is usually the minimum that you need to give a telecom operator to launch the 4G network. In 5G, you're going towards the more than 6 gigahertz, more than 24 gigahertz. That allows you a lot of 20 megahertz. It allows you more than 100 megahertz. So the allocation flexibility from the regulator to the telecom operators is high, because they're not fighting over the 700 megahertz or the 900 or the 2100, which are some of the bands in the 3G and 4G. Now they have much bigger frequency range, and they can give more of that most important asset. It's like gold. It's like diamond for the telecom industry.
Rami, 5G has a valuable role to play in providing high-speed broadband connectivity to households and businesses that are poorly served by fixed-line infrastructure. Can you share with the listener why is 5G important and how it can be used to unlock the significant growth opportunities across the continent?
So that's extremely important. 5G leverages high spectrum, meaning bigger range, meaning the operator can dedicate to their consumers a lot of bandwidth, and they can price them cheaper. So more people, more data with 5G. I can talk about low latency, but low latency is for maybe more industrial applications like vehicle-to-vehicle communication. In case of accident, you need instantaneous communication. That's fine, but maybe not my urgency now in Africa. Low latency makes mobile gaming awesome, because if you're playing network game and there is no delay between the minute you touch the screen and the minute your action figure moves on your friend's mobile phone screen, that's also great, but maybe not urgency. Even download speed, 5G is 10 times at least download speed of 4G. So, I mean, if you are in a good network, downtown, you may get 30, 40 megapixels from your 4G phone. You'll get 300, 400, 500 megabit per second from your 5G phone. And it's 100 times faster than 3G, because in many places in Africa, you can have 3G, not even 4G. But the most important, as I said earlier, I think, is the ability, because of the wide spectrum, we can have more bandwidth, cover more people, and give them more data.
Mm.
Couple that with a better speed, you are putting the continent on a segue for rejoining the digital economy. We are, as a media tech, you know, working for digital inclusion, but if the infrastructure is not there, then the devices will not work. So in short, 5G, two main values for you would be, of course, faster connections, higher download speed, which means more effectiveness while you work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Higher efficiency, you can do more in less time. But more importantly, you're actually reaching the person, because now there is a lot of bandwidth in terms of spectrum that the regulators can distribute.
Mm.
So these are the two main points I wanted to highlight.
Rami, just to wrap up the interview, any message that you'd love to share with the listeners regarding MediaTek's 5G distribution?
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me the chance. MediaTek has been helping African people connect to the internet for the last two decades. I would say that our share in Africa now in mobile phone is 55%. 55% of people with a smartphone on their hand in Africa are using MediaTek-powered phone. All the brands that you love, from Samsung to Tecno to Xiaomi and others, are our customers. What we are doing is providing more modern smartphone. And now we're going beyond smartphone into data cards. I don't know if you heard about our announcement to bring new 5G data cards to laptops, and also into routers. So what I want to leave you with, MediaTek continues to work with the OEMs in Africa to bring more cost-effective 5G solutions to your smartphone, to your laptop, and to your router.
That was Rami Osman, Director of Corporate Sales and Marketing, MediaTek Middle East and Africa, sharing with the listeners on telecoms regulators and network operators in Africa on the disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic as a catalyst to speed up the rollout of 5G networks and services to, in turn, support the continent's transition towards a digital economy.
Station you can't live without. This is your radio.
Welcome to Change Your Game here on Channel Africa, the African perspective. We're coming to you from Johannesburg in South Africa. My name is Asanda Peta.
What GDF Forum is about and what an opportunity it provides specifically for the audience of Change Your Game.
At Change Your Game, we believe entrepreneurs are the key drivers of tomorrow's African innovations and essential to creating a thriving African economy.
More support, just like invest more in young creatives and entrepreneurship, but actually do it, don't just talk about it, actually do it, you know, because there are a lot of creative minds, there are a lot of intelligent human beings in our country, so I think we should invest more in that and take it seriously, because it's a real thing.
Catch us every Friday at 900 hours Central African time with Channel Africa, the African perspective.
One Life, together with LiveQ, using a Samsung Galaxy Watch Active 2 device, have launched COVID-19 screening app that uses unique models derived from users' biometric data to give them an indication of changes in their health, enabling consumers to take proactive precautions in the event of potential COVID-19 onset, which is essential as the country faces third wave of infections. There is growing evidence for the use of biometrics in early detection of many physical conditions, and this COVID-19 solution is the first of many solutions that LiveQ plans to offer to consumers, athletes, and those with acute and chronic illness. To tell us more on this, Paseka Makafula spoke to Christopher Rimmer, Chief Commercial Officer at LiveQ.
Christopher, a very warm welcome to the show, Science Tech Africa, here on Channel Africa from the African perspective.
Thank you. Great to be here.
LiveQ, One Life and Samsung South Africa launched COVID-19 screening app as South Africa is already on a third wave.
Yes.
Just take us through the app and what role is technology playing in the healthcare today and how important it is considering where we are with COVID-19?
That's a great question. So I think, you know, answering your first question around the role of technology, you know, the challenge we've always had with healthcare is we only react after we get sick, and that's a very inefficient way of doing it. And what new technology is enabling us to do in specific wearables is actually monitoring the human body continuously and all the time so that we can get early warning of things going wrong and we can actually start intervening, you know, very early in the illness, which is much more efficient, much more effective, and obviously better for all of us because, you know, getting sick is not good and it's an expensive exercise. The very simple analogy I use is, you know, it's a bit like driving your car without a petrol gauge. You know, you just drive until you run out of petrol and then you're stuck on the side of the road and you have to call an emergency vehicle to fill your car up. It's a, you know, an incredibly bad way to drive a car. But that's a little bit how we drive our bodies. You know, we just carry on until we get sick and then we try and react. And the role the technology is playing is, for the first time ever, allowing us to continuously monitor our bodies and actually try and prevent illness or intervene very early before it becomes extreme. So, you know, that's why we see wearable technology and this whole space being so critical to changing how we manage health. And to that point, what we have done with One Life and Samsung is we've created a health management solution that One Life, being a pretty innovative insurer, has adopted into their company programs, where when you buy a life insurance program from One Life, they have a product called Pulse, and that comes integrated with a wearable device from Samsung, the Samsung Active 2, and the LiveQ health management solution. And it's all called VioSense. And that's it's a great product. It allows people to track their health all the time and stay healthy and live healthier lives. And One Life is so excited about that they've actually built an incentive into that program. So every month that you use the watch, just by wearing the watch and by staying reasonably healthy, they actually give you more insurance. So that's the foundation. What that has done is built this foundation of people collecting all this data on a continuous basis. And that's fantastic because that's then given us the opportunity to start offering additional interesting health services on top of that. So what's kind of interesting then is, so we've got this continuous data, we see whether people are living healthily or not, but we're able to then start to look at this data in a more critical format. And that's where the COVID-19 app comes from. Obviously, with this health crisis going on in the world, LiveQ has taken some of our technology and knowledge and said, well, how can we use this data to help with the COVID crisis? And that's the origins of the COVID app. Now, because Samsung and One Life have invested in this with us on the original foundational stuff, it's already there, it's already in place. So this great thing that we can build on. And that's why we've launched the COVID-19 app with One Life and the Pulse customers.
In terms of the COVID-19 screening app, is it the first in South Africa or around the world?
I don't think we should call it the first in the world. There are people trying similar things in the US. There are a couple of companies that, you know, people like Fitbit and Apple and stuff who've been fiddling around in this space. As far as we're aware, they haven't launched an official app. And there are one or two companies who are trying to pull data from sort of general spaces and do things like this. But to our knowledge, there's no company that has the amount of data, the accuracy of data, and the spread of data that LifeQ does that we're able to extract from the Samsung device. And the way we're combining it, we believe, is pretty unique. It's certainly the first that we're aware of in South Africa to go out to consumers and offer them as a service like this.
Okay, so how do the COVID-19 screening app technological algorithms work?
Yeah.
And what makes them effective in determining the pre-infection of COVID-19?
Right. So, you know, we've obviously got this this incredible amount of data on the humans that are wearing these devices. You know, it's actually 24/7 monitoring. The device is actually, you know, tracking all these, you know, great biomarkers. And we can put these into these biomathematical models that LifeQ builds. And what we then do for each person individually, we create a what we call a normalized benchmark. We know what normal looks like for you for a series of important biomarkers like your heart rate, your resting heart rate, your heart variability, your breathing rate, all kinds of things that are, you know, foundational in your system. So we know what good, what normal looks like for you every day. Then what we've done is we've built this mathematical model that constantly checks that data. Every night that you go to bed, every morning when you wake up, it goes through the night's data and looks at it and looks for significant disturbances or anomalies in that data. Now, obviously, the disturbance and anomalies we're looking for are those that have been proven by medical science to be things that go wrong when you're starting to get sick. So what it's doing is saying we're looking for strangeness in your system. The moment the model, my mathematical model, see the strangeness, they then send an alert to the user and ask the user some questions about their behavior, about their lifestyle, if they were doing some unusual things. For example, if you had really quite a lot to drink the night before, that can quite often send off a whole lot of weird and wonderful signals in your system, and that might create a false flag. So we then, what we call, deconfound the data. And then by combining the biomathematical signals with the user feedback, we're then able to classify the user into three stages. In very simple terms, we have what we call green is for go. We're not seeing any markers in your system that are doing anything strange, and you've been able to explain any oddness. Therefore, carry on. You know, we can't see anything. Everything looks to be as good as it can be. And that's to give people real confidence to carry on with their lives. You know, it's pretty uncertain right now. The second phase is, well, actually, it's yellow is for caution. We're a little concerned here. We're not quite sure. We're seeing things in your system that you can't explain. We would strongly recommend for the next 24 to 48 hours, you exercise caution. If you can, avoid going to the office. Maybe avoid going to the office if you, you know, don't expose yourself to lots of people if you can. And then the third stage is red. Red is for stop. Now, that's where the person has either reported significant symptoms, COVID-like symptoms, or actually had a COVID test. At that point, that's where we are for everybody in the world today. That's follow government guidelines, follow your employer guidelines, be really, obviously, super careful. We're not trying to tell people they're sick. What we're trying to do is identify that critical 24 to 48-hour period where people are sick, but they don't know they're sick. And the challenge there is you're already highly contagious. So you go out into the world thinking you're absolutely fine, and you're spreading the disease. Our goal is to try and help people, give them the information to go, hang on a second, this could be something wrong here. Let's be a little bit cautious.
So where can consumers get more information regarding the first of a kind in South Africa?
Yeah, well, because we've launched this through One Life, their One Life website has lots of information on this solution and how people can get it. Well, what One Life have done is, you know, they've got their customers who are using the Pulse program. They're actually offering it to them for free. Now, you know, unfortunately, these things are quite expensive to build because you're collecting a huge amount of data. You know, you've obviously got to have the right wearable. We've got, you know, significant costs in terms of doing this. Fortunately, one of funding all of this and just get out there. So that's the key place that we can find out about it at the moment. Obviously, LifeQ, based down here, we can help people with this. What we're actually doing as a next phase is we're approaching businesses to say to them, well, you know, you want to keep your workplace safe, you want to keep your employees safe, you want to keep everybody, you know, able to come to the office and those types of things, looking at potentially getting them to purchase, you know, the wearables for their users with Samsung wearables for their employees, and then being able to have a workplace actually, you know, safety. we actually, for that one, even add a dashboard. So the employer kind of gets a green, yellow, red status for its employees so that they can see what status their employees are and really help their employees manage this and you know, basically keep the workplace safe and keep people healthy and confident in their lives.
Chris, lastly, any message that you like to share with the listener regarding, you know, the partnership that you guys are having and the screening app that you just recently launched?
Well, you know, in a perfect world, we just make this available to everybody instantly because then that would really help. You know, that's what we'd love to do, and that's what we're working to do. We're working with lots of wearable companies around the world, and you know, in a perfect world, we'll get more and more of this out there. But because we were able to build this great partnership with Samsung and One Life here in South Africa, we already have the foundation in place. People have the devices there. It's all they've got paid for services with Pulse, and that's super. And we thought to ourselves, well, we can wait and wait and wait until, you know, it's all perfect. But who knows when that will be, or we can get this out there immediately and start to showcase it, start to get the data, start to prove it works, and, you know, to really build some momentum and show people how wearable technology can fundamentally change health, can really become a real tool, you know, and stop being just a toy that you play with, but something that actually is just part of your life. You just have it there because you live there because of it. And we're very lucky, you know, One Life has been a great partner, seeing this vision, investing a huge amount of money, really, to start this program, which we've then been able to roll COVID onto. In time, we're really hoping to roll quite a lot more health programs on top of this, you know, around sleep apnea, around arrhythmia. So there's some quite exciting things coming down the road. And hopefully it goes from One Life with its customers to a much broader group where we can actually start to help not only South Africans, Africans and the whole world.
Chris, thank you so much for your time, and hoping to talk to you again in the near future.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the time. I appreciate your interest. And obviously, any questions, just please feel free to reach out to us.
That was Christopher Rimmer, Chief Commercial Officer at LifeQ, speaking there to Paseka Makafula on the newly launched app that gives users a pre-infection risk score that provides an indication of the risk of getting seriously ill if they were to contract COVID-19. In today's program, we looked at the importance of construction companies to embrace digitalization. The second story, we looked at CyberCare, a service that helps tackle growing concerns over cybersecurity attacks. And we also looked at how 5G networks can help to unlock significant growth opportunities across the continent. Lastly, we took a look at what role is technology playing in the healthcare sector, as well as how important is this considering where we are currently with COVID-19. For more on this, stay tuned to Channel Africa, the African perspective. Please like our Facebook page, Channel Africa, and do follow us on Twitter at @ScienceTech_1 and engage with us and comment on the program. That's all the time we have for on the show. Should you have any comments on the program, email the producer info@channelafrica.co.za or like our page on Facebook, Channel Africa, and our Twitter handle is @ScienceTech_1. Comment on the show, and remember, we're also on Southern Africa DSTV, Audio Bouquet, Channel 802, and stream us live on www.channelafrica.co.za. And do drop us messages on WhatsApp on +27 76 300 3327. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to the Science Tech Africa producer Paseka Makafula. I am Nombuise Lotengo, and stay tuned to Channel Africa from the African perspective. Until next week, goodbye.